Boys are back. We actually have a topic. Look at us. We're actually prepared. We're kind of prepared. We're still shooting from the hip. But we're... we are absolutely prepared. All right. We are absolutely
firing from the hip works well.
Yeah. That's how we do things. We don't ever prepare. Come on. Who knows us? Look at us. Updates. Let's do a quick round of updates. I'm gonna go first. I'm on a training break because I can't handle my stress. So lovely. I actually brought this up to Mark that I started to get, we're going to dive into this because this is actually going to be our topic. We're going to be talking about training breaks, when to pull back, etc. I was experiencing a lot of brain fog. My joints were starting to hurt and blood glucose was starting to nail in like the upper 90s and 100, low 100s. So I was like, oh, my body's stressed. And so after my birthday, I just decided to call it off. I was like, let me just get through to my birthday. Let me get a good meal in after post-training on that day, and then I'll call quits. So I will be off training until either Tuesday or Wednesday. Just depends. I'm doing a nice little cortisol reset right now, too, as well. Just kind of help bring that stress load down while I'm doing that, just to aid with sleep and everything. So I'll be good to go by Tuesday or Thursday, whichever day, because I always have a Wednesday rest day. So whenever I get back in the gym, I'm really amped to get back in already, like mentally, but my body is not. So it's just like, I'm fucking fiending to get in the gym now because I didn't hit legs this week. So, but I'm fiending so hard.
Love it. Gil, go ahead, man.
For myself, so a little bit, I'm in a health phase right now. Coach B's got me in a health phase. We kept my food pretty high. I just did whatever, 18, 20 week enhancement phase. So that, I think that went pretty well. Mm-hmm. My eyes are not the best to judge my own progress. So that's why I have a coach. He says that we're in a good spot. So we're in a good spot. That's just what I repeat to myself. My training as well. Definitely, we removed intensifiers. We removed some volume because I was also, you know, when I was in that enhancement phase, I was able to handle a lot more recovery wise. And, you know, my also personal stress, business stress, kind of just fall time, getting out of that summertime mode where people are not like, you know, a lot of the business stuff I had on the go wasn't in the forefront like it is now. So my stress went up and then my recovery went down. So he had to make the play of, you know, changing up the volume and the intensifiers. I think that we're probably going to do a program change sometime in the next month or something. So that's probably pretty fun. Other than that, you know, just going through this health phase and being as healthy as I can, I think we're going to look to take off a little bit of body fat at some point, which I'm very excited about. I've been pushing for 3 years. And to be honest, I've wanted to push for no more than 3 weeks of that 3 years. So I've been pushing a rock up a hill for a long time, but it was certainly worth it. For anyone, you know, coming from like an obesity background, coming from anyone who struggles to eat, I can already tell that this will be my struggle forever of putting on more size, should that's the goal that I want to continue to do, just because the busier I get, the less, and the older I get, the less disordered thinking I have, the less I want to eat, you know? So that's kind of an interesting thing, but it's been really fun. And I'm excited about some of the stuff we have coming up. Braden and I are headed to Florida with Kim, his wife, and my fiance. We're going to go see some friends of ours down there for Thanksgiving. So I think that's going to be fun. I've never been to Disney before. And then we got the Olympia, and hopefully we can get the whole team there and do some stuff too. So that's about it for me. What do you got, B?
Yeah, really good week for me too. Super excited about those trips, honestly. Just super excited, man, to be able to just enjoy some time and see Brandon and Nikki and stuff like that. And then obviously see the team down at the Olympia. And I was saying to you guys just before this call, that's my favorite weekend of the year. It's busy with business stuff, obviously, but at the same time, outside of all the networking and stuff you can do, it's just like, I fucking love bodybuilding to its core, and being around that environment is crazy. So really excited for that. Really good week for me. I added 4 athletes to the roster, so we're working on getting them set up here right now. In terms of other things that are going on for me, my sleep's been actually, I've talked about it on the podcast before, something I've really been trying to work. Since I got back from Greece, I've only really had to smoke weed to sleep a few times. I've been able to fall asleep, and I realize now that I think I had this false belief in my head that like you have to fall asleep within 5 minutes of hitting the pillow. And that's not a reality. That's only reality when you're high as balls. I have the patience, but it's been pretty cool because in the past, what would happen is I'm a guy, you guys know this, that's go, 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 and I can't shut my brain off. And in the past, my brain would spin out and that would keep me up for hours and hours. And all of a sudden it's 4 a.m. Now I'm in bed by 10 and I'm able to just shut that brain off and focus on going to bed and know that I have shit that can be dealt with tomorrow and I'll deal with it at that time. So another really good thing for that that's helped me huge time here actually this week, my first week here, is I moved my office out last Sunday. That's why I didn't do a podcast with the boys. I had my computer on the move. I moved out of my house and no longer have a work from home setup. I'm actually getting out of my house in the morning and it's been the best thing ever for me. You know what I mean? Like it's really easy when you're at home and you and the wife are like, hey, let's watch one more episode of this show because you only get an hour together at 10 p.m. or whatever. And all of a sudden it's 11, 11:30 or 10:30, 11. And in the morning, it's really tough to get up at 5, 5:30 versus like now it's like, I have to be up at the office by 6:30. I have to be in bed by 10. So I'm up at 5 or 5:30. My meals are going better because I'm eating earlier. So my meal timing is just bang on. I'm not eating as close to sleep anymore. So I'm sleeping better. And the productivity is actually, I've said this to a couple of people, fucking insane. Coming into the office, sitting down here and not having any distractions, I'm shaving about 2 hours off my day. And obviously, as you guys know, I have other stuff in the office here that I can work on that I'm using for that 2 hours. But it's so crazy, man. Like I had a day this week where I finished everything I needed to do by like, I think it was like 1 p.m. And like, obviously us, there's always more you can be doing, but I was just like, you know what? I haven't had a day like this in forever. I'm just going to fucking embrace this. I'm going to go home and enjoy a couple hours before I train and then that stuff, which is really cool. So yeah, I'm really happy that I made that transition. It's been a little tough on the lady because she's been used to seeing me all day, every day for the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. But at the same
probably time, thankful that she doesn't have to see you.
Yeah, right. Now I get out of her. Now I get out of her hair too. So it's been great, man. It's been very awesome in terms of, especially like Dill knows we have a big busy week coming up here.
Yep.
And as you guys know, like with the team stuff that we're rolling out, there's some really cool things happening and I just need my focuses and all hands on deck for that. So kind of being in a new atmosphere, just like when you change gyms, it's super motivating, right? Changing my atmosphere here, it's all the same setup. I have the same computer and everything like that. It's just a totally different environment around me and it's fucking awesome. So that's my week in a nutshell.
Yeah. I think that's something that I've started to do too. I've kind of taken the thing of I can't look at social media until I'm done. Like, so I'll literally wait until I get my check, like all my check-ins in. And then once I'm answered those, then I can finally look at Instagram because I'm trying to spend less time on social media and everything. Yeah. So it's just like, I literally lock my phone in like my room now. Like I'll just like, I flip the role. Like when I'm asleep, it's out here. When I'm awake, it's in my room until like I'm done. And then I'll go over to my phone when I need to like record for WhatsApp or whatever. Yeah. But I will like, I'll delete the Instagram app if I need to for a few hours to get all my check-ins done, things like that, or whatever I need to do. Like if I need to have a really, really productive, like zoned in few hours, I'm just like, that gets deleted and removed off my phone for now.
Bro, web.whatsapp.com, change your life.
I don't like recording. I like recording on my phone because sometimes I like to take notes and then I walk around my apartment, get steps in while I record.
Okay, fair enough.
Weird. I'm weird when I coach,
all
right?
We're all fucking weird, bro.
Makes us special.
That's facts, yeah.
So, today's topic, yeah, we're going to talk about pulling back. I think this is something that a lot of people have difficulty doing. I bet you guys can agree. And we all love the gym, right? This is probably the one reason why most people don't actually know how to read their body correctly to know when to pull back. Because every single time, no matter the day, no matter what happens, the gym is always going to be like your happy place. And so when you step into that, you automatically can flip that switch and you're like, okay, got to perform, right? But most times people don't know when the body is saying, hey, we should probably take a step back and we should probably pull back and people will consistently, and I've seen this time and time again on like check-ins and things like that. People are like, oh, I go into the gym and I feel great. But I'm like, you felt like shit and you had shit sleep. I'm like, you probably shouldn't have trained that day. Like, obviously there's some circumstances where you got to push through. But for the most part, you need to learn how to auto-regulate, which we'll definitely go into. But I kind of want someone to take it away. Like, what's your thoughts on that? Like, do you guys see that often? Like the same thing that I am observing when it comes down to like seeing athletes check-ins and that they don't know. They feel great whenever they're in the gym, but out of the gym, it tells a whole different story.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, that's one thing that I find too. You know, I think because people like rules, right? Or like guidelines. I think the human body, if one day of missed sleep, you're going to be fine for the most part. You know, and I think it's oftentimes worse from my depiction of the literature and personal experience. And everyone's obviously different. But I think if you try and kind of make up for it by sleeping in, if you're only going to have one day of low sleep, you know, 6 hours, 7 hours versus your normal 8 or 9 or 5, let's say, I think you're better off to get up at the same time and try to get to bed at the same time of your normal routine. And if you're a little tired in your training day, everything's not perfect and rosy every single day, especially if you're aspiring to have big things happening. Like, not every day do I feel like when I was 20 training, you know, without all the responsibilities I have. So I think there is like, as your life grows, you have to change your expectations a little bit. However, if you know that this whole week is just a gong show and you're going to get really poor sleep, and then you're going to force yourself to try to go to the gym 6 days a week, well, that's where like you need a little bit, like Spada said, a little bit of auto regulation. It's okay to, what's wrong with maybe 3 or 4 sessions and catching up on that recovery and, you know, handling the stressors. Because I think a lot of the times, right, we end up kind of replacing the gym with some sort of therapeutic endeavor, which can become problematic because it's like you're actually using that as a dopaminergic scapegoat from getting away from solving the problem that's causing the anxiety or the stress in the first place, right? Because it's like, oh, I can go to the gym and ignore that because I'm working out and I'm ignoring whatever the thing is that's causing me stress. Take that time, divert all thrusters into fixing the stress or managing it, maybe is a better word, and then get back on your training next week. And then these things don't have to drag out for 2 to 3 weeks where you get down regulations of hormones or, you know, just different type of sort of consequences that we can have from running too high of allostatic stress. What do you think?
Like, too, I mean, people think there's, and I've actually literally had this conversation. And when you said the whole, like, just wake up at your regular time, even if that means you have one day less of sleep. People think that, like, when you have a sleep deficit, you can just, like, make up for it and all of a sudden, okay, you had a Friday night, a Saturday night, and a Sunday night of 4 hours of sleep because you were partying or you were just staying up late with friends. So if you get your 8 hours, if you get 9 hours on each other day of the week, you've made up for lost hours, et cetera. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. You can't just recover a sleep deficit like that. Like you said, you might have to take the out on one side of things if it's a single day. And like the auto-regulation thing is really important. And I think something that's important to talk about there too is like, actually knowing when it's time to pull back and trying to convince yourself that it's time to pull back. And I've seen it a lot where like people will be potentially lacking motivation in a period,
yep,
but they don't actually need to pull back. It's like, no, motivation comes and goes. We talk about this. Discipline outweighs motivation 10 out of 10 times. So just because you don't feel like maybe you should be doing said thing, you might not feel like eating your fucking diet one day, but you know damn well if you don't, that's just lack of control and that's just a poor decision.
Yeah.
Right? Vice versa. You may get out of bed one day and you just don't feel like going to the gym. Well, I mean, if your blood glucose is trending at a good place and you're not crazy sore, you're not having massive bouts of brain fog or all these other things that can actually come from being in a state where you're beat the fuck up and you have to pull back, you're probably just lacking motivation. And the best thing you can do for yourself is kick your fucking self in the ass and go to the gym, right? Now, vice versa, on the flip side, if it's like you have no motivation, you have no appetite, your joints are sore, maybe you're having some fucking erectile dysfunction issues or just libido issues, your blood glucose is trending high, all these, like the data that we collect as coaches are leading you and pointing you in a direction that says, hey, pull back. you should probably pull back, right? And like, that might mean, like you said, a full week off of the gym. Well, if you're trying to take that full week off of the gym, don't go do five fucking spin classes and three hot yoga, and three hot yoga classes. And it's like, it's hilarious because people think like, well, it's just hot yoga. It's like, that's stressful as shit on your body. It's still very stressful. If you're going to do yoga and you want to do meditation and breathing, do that. Go do a yin yang yoga, something that's actually relaxing you. Putting yourself in a hot ass room where you're sweating and doing holding poses that are tough to get into is not relaxing. I'm sorry. Like, I put my fat ass in there, I'm going to be dying within 5 minutes.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I think that's a really, really important thing to talk about. And we can obviously dive into it further, but actually realizing what the difference is between being in a state that you have to pull back and being in a state where you're just lacking motivation and you need to bring yourself over that hump and it's you who has to do it.
Yeah. I think this is a big thing. You know, cause I'm going through it right now. So, right. So I said I was taking a 4 or 5 day training break, right? I'm off the gym now. What was I seeing that was coming down to that? My gym performance was great, right? My gym performance is trending up, but I find some of us, and it's probably like us three could probably find the switch no matter the day, no matter how tired we are, we'll find a way to progress in the gym, right? Like there we'll take a progression. Whereas some people, you'll be able to know whether they need to pull back based on gym performance. Like if you start, like if someone's like climbing and they're making really good progress and all of a sudden it just like stalls, you may come at a point where, hey, we're now at the point where maybe you've advanced so much that you're going to take lesser progressions, or we're at a point where, hey, we should probably take a break. So like, I always look at that as first one, but there's always outside factors though that drive into gym performance. Right. And just from my basis, my sleep started to get way, way worse. I started to wake up earlier. It wasn't even like I was sleeping through the night, but I was waking up earlier. And it was like 45 minutes before I normally would wake up, which would have me kind of tired throughout the rest of the day because I'd be getting less sleep. Waking up, my blood glucose was 95 or above for the last like 6 days. That's a great telltale sign, especially if I'm usually trending in the 80s and all of a sudden it goes into like the mid 90s. Something's off there. Digestion goes whack. That was something that really kind of happened to me. I was having some irregular digestion issues. So that's obviously another telltale sign. And then just like how I was feeling throughout the day. I think this is a big thing too. And this is what I was saying, where people can get amped up for the gym. But if you're feeling like you're bogged down the whole time, and like you said, your appetite goes to shit. Like I'm coming out of a diet for the past night for, well, now I'm like 7 weeks out of it. 7-8 weeks out of it. But my hunger signal is still pretty good. Like I can eat whenever, right? In terms of things, like I knew this week my appetite like went away. And I was like, okay, that's definitely a sign. Like, that's definitely a sign. Now, the one thing that I did that people should probably learn from is don't push things either. When you see these signs, take the fucking break. Because I saw these signs a few weeks ago, but I didn't communicate it particularly well. I internalized it and kind of was just like, okay, I'm going to push through until my birthday, when I probably should have taken the week off of my birthday rather than take this week coming up off. I should have taken last week off and I would have been able to kind of progress a lot quicker. But being able to kind of learn your body too, and being like, hey, maybe it is good. And how do I know I took a break? Cause I finally dropped from like 100 on my blood glucose to 94 today. It took like 2 days for it to start to come down. So I'm like, okay, another 2 to 3 days, I'll probably be primed, ready to go, because I'm ready to go mentally, but I'm not ready to go physically. So getting the body, those are two different things too, when it comes up to, we'll discuss that the next go around, but that was the signs that at least I saw in myself that, hey, I needed to take a step back and really kind of take a break and, you know, learning when to communicate that to your coach too.
Well, that's, as an athlete, there's maturity that comes as an athlete. mm-hmm. right? And understanding your body is one of the most important things that you can mature with as an athlete. Like we talk about things like learning to try and find true failure in training, learning to try to find the intensities that you need within training and the dedication you need to stick to your diet, et cetera. Those can all happen, but at some point you're going to shoot yourself in the foot as an athlete if you're not actually learning to understand your body and the signs it tells you and what it's putting in front of you, right? And that's where it does become extremely important if you have a coach that you relay this information. And I mean, sure, like we have situations, and I'm sure you guys have seen it, where there's other things in play that are causing blood glucose to trend higher. And those are continually efforts that we're working on those things. But if you've been in a good spot and suddenly you see a turn, there's a reason for that. And being able to identify that from a coach's aspect is extremely important. But if you as an athlete aren't relaying this information that we need as a coach, we can't help you, right? So just like Anthony said, he tried to internalize this and work on it himself and think he just needed to push through. So he didn't communicate it to his coach. And then by the time he did, he realized it was almost too late. And it's not like he backtracked or anything, right? But it may have benefited him more to take this break earlier. But there are people who just decide to not take any break at all. And just, it's an old thing where like, we think we're fucking hardcore, right? Like it goes back even to like being a little bit sick. You're not fucking hardcore for training through sickness. You're stupid. I'm sorry, like you are, right? Like there's one thing about, okay, sure, if you have a little bit of a sniffles, you probably can train. Yeah. But like if you're actually sick and you feel weaker and you can't get your meals in or whatever, listen to your fucking body. Your body's always going to want to recover from something that's actually fighting it all day, every day versus a training stimulus. So if anything, you're doing yourself a disservice. You're probably going to pull off tissue by breaking down tissue and not recovering said tissue or not refueling said tissue. Right. And like, it's extremely important, I guess what I'm going at is to realize this and as an athlete, have the maturity and gain the maturity to make those decisions. And I know it's something you guys work on and it's definitely something I work on with my athletes. And I see it all the time. People are like, I'm pretty beat up here, but I'm gonna go to the gym. And it's like, no, actually you're not. I'm telling you, you're not going to the gym. Why are you even telling me you're beat up? Because you're fucking beat up or you're sick. Like as your coach, I'm telling you, if you go to the gym right now, you're doing yourself a disservice. And you're actually moving away from your goals. And I mean, there's a lot of information on where and how long it actually takes to start losing tissue and strength. Mm-hmm. And skipping 2, 3, 4 sessions at the gym is not when that happens. Yeah, you might drop weight and you might feel a little bit weaker because you've dropped 6 pounds in water weight, which has a large amount on the leverages you can take into the gym. Give yourself 2 sessions back on said body parts, or maybe 2 weeks, you'll be above where you were if you take that break. Versus if you don't take that break, 2 weeks from now, you might be forced into a position you have to take a longer break and your body literally will not be progressing. So you're actually moving backwards.
No, this makes a lot of sense. I think this is a good segue because Braden touched so beautifully on the physical side. And I can use my own anecdote as we all kind of talked about in our updates about, you know, auto-regulation or when to quote unquote pull back. Pull back doesn't mean less effort all the time as yep. well, because sometimes it's more effort. And this particular point you guys just spoke on is most people that we coach, it's physically harder for them to, or psychologically harder, I'm sorry, for them to not go to the gym, which is why they don't do it. And they think that they're going to lose something. They're not, but that can go in the athlete communication. That's so huge, right? Like I communicated with Braden over this last 3 weeks, and I'll be completely honest, even as experienced as I am, having coaches, being a coach, being in the industry, it's difficult, right? Because you want your coach to kind of be proud of you and you know, be able to support you. And sometimes it's like, well, maybe they're not going to feel okay with the way that I'm feeling. And I kind of told them like, hey, I've been pushing it for 3 years. My food's been higher than it ever has for a long time. And I just am not, I'm starting to like not feel good about myself, and the trade-off is maybe not worth it. And I'm starting to really not want to eat all my food, you know? And then we laid out a plan, and it wasn't like, okay, slash all your food. None of that. Just even him saying like, okay, we can't do this right away because this, here's what we're going to do. And it kind of laid me out a map of the next 6 months, and I'm not in a hurry. But just the fact that I know that I'm not kind of just waiting around, keeping on doing something that doesn't really feel like I'm getting any positive emotion from it, is super huge. It was a shift for me to be able to be like, frick, I feel like alive again, you know? So that's where that communication comes in. And he was like, no, man, you know, I'm not proud of you. I'm proud that you brought it to me. And, you know, you pushed way longer than you wanted to in the beginning for multiple reasons. That wasn't his choice. It's because I switched coaches and restarted the process. So I did it twice, you know, and I wouldn't change it for the world, but hey, we're here now. And sometimes you got to, quote unquote, again, pull back to make steps forward, and we'll do it again. You know, we'll be able to put on more tissue again. We'll get me in a little more sensitive of a spot, I'm sure. Get a little bit of body fat off. And, you know, there's always time to do that again, you know? So,
okay. Well, yeah. And Dylan and I have talked about this many times, and like a conversation like the one Dylan and I had might even benefit an athlete that isn't a coach or something more than it's benefited Dylan. Cause like when Dylan and I have these conversations, half the time we laugh after the conversation. Cause he's like,
yeah,
you told me exactly what I would have fucking done with an athlete or what I wanted to hear. And what I predicted you would say, you just told me that we're going to do that. Yeah. Right. Whereas you have the athlete who brings this to you and they don't have an actual fucking clue of what the roadmap looks like. They're literally spinning out in their head, like, yeah, fuck me. Right. Like, we as athletes still care enough about ourselves and the way we feel and look that, like, yeah, we do spin out and we are neurotic in our own senses, but we also have the ability to really internalize and think from a coach's perspective, right? Which I know before Dylan had that conversation with me, he probably thought to himself, if I was coaching me, what would I do? And he had already drawn out kind of a map in his head. So by me telling him, it was more of a reaffirmation of what he needed to hear and that there was a plan in place. Now, if you're an athlete that has no fucking clue what the roadmap looks like, sometimes hearing that gives you an idea. And I've actually had athletes, I'll be the first to say this, I don't always vocalize my roadmaps for people because roadmaps change so often.
Yep.
And you have to dictate the path you're taking based on what's in front of you. And I see a side of athletes where if I vocalize things too much and there's a shift of plans, it negatively impacts them way too much.
Yep.
Right. So I like to tell people a brief idea of where we're headed and what I'm wanting to see on a weekly basis. And here's what we're going to do this week, et cetera. But I do have people come to me and say, what's the game plan here? Like, where's your head at with things? And I voice it to them. And sometimes that helps. And sometimes there's pushback. Just this week, I had a recent athlete who started working with me, a bodybuilder, and he hasn't had a coach for a while and whatnot. And we've only been working together a few weeks. And in terms of the way I want to see him progress and what I have planned for him and where I think we can go, we know we're doing a long off season and we know we're taking a few years before we hit the stage to really make an impact. Well, I looked at it into my head when I first brought him on and I said, okay, well, here's where we are right now. I want to see body fat come down to a spot where we can then start a growth phase and an enhancement phase. And he recomps even further while we're improving and growing. So we hold a really, really good body composition through that. And we don't shoot ourselves in the foot and have these periods of pullback come sooner, right? Now, I hadn't necessarily told him exactly that. So it's been a couple of weeks on plan. He's hungry. I mean, he's eating a good amount of food. I think it's 3,200 calories or something, but he's hungry and he's wanting to start growing right now. And he said to me, can you give me an idea of the roadmap? And I told him exactly what I just said. And that's where there was some pushback. He's like, listen, I've kind of done my diligence. And what I wanted when I worked with a coach was I wanted to pop in and kind of get things rolling and get growing and start feeling good and strong. And I said, I get it. 100% I get it. But if you hear me out on this one, it's not like I'm planning to throw you into a deficit for 6-8 weeks. It's literally just, we've seen your body composition improve over the past 2 weeks. You might only have to be here for another couple of weeks. And then we kind of transition out of this phase. Right. And just hearing that, I know, again, it wasn't exactly what he wanted to hear, but it gives him a sense of direction and understanding to where we're going. And again, as the mature athlete, when you hear that and you kind of know, you can start to make decisions in your head about, okay, I know I can do this. And here's kind of that carrot. And once we get there, we pivot and we move forward again. So yeah, I think that's a really good segue. And obviously it takes the conversation a little bit away from auto-regulation, but it's something very, very important to think about, right? You have to have these roadmaps. And I think on top of that, when there is, and this is a really valuable lesson for an athlete, because like we just talked about, sometimes there's going to be changes in a roadmap. I'll give you another example. I woke up to a voice note this morning from one of my clients at 2 a.m. He was in the hospital, hopped up on morphine, his large colon and his, or his large intestine and small intestine had like wrapped around each other. And he was going to the washroom and blood was coming out and he was in extreme pain. And this is a dude who we've been reversing for a little bit because he came to me in a prep, crazy physique. And the plan was to basically have a really crazy off season, and actually we were going to start an enhancement phase soon. Well, now he has to get surgery to get those untangled, and there's going to be some recovery involved with that, right? So that's one of those things that wasn't our fucking roadmap. Never did I predict that we were going to have to get surgery in the middle of this phase, mm-hmm. right before we're about to start a growth phase. But the mature athlete can handle that adversity. The mature athlete realizes, okay, maybe this adds six weeks on top of what we had planned. That doesn't mean the long-term plan changes. Short-term, we have to pivot. We have to adapt and make some adjustments within that, right?
Yeah, and I definitely think as we learn the athlete, so you can kind of catch these things. Like, there's always going to be trends, like, whenever you kind of do things. Like, it's not some... Like, for a lot of people, this is what I see, is they can get a certain amount of weeks of training into their plan before they need a break. Like, and I try to find that, and I try to find that pattern. And what I'll do is I'll try to catch it. Mm-hmm. So I'll try to catch it, like how I caught mine a week late. Like, I caught mine when I should have taken it, but I took it a week late. So next time when I catch it, I'm just going to do it, right? So when I have an athlete come to me, I find how long I could push them for. And then when I get that point, I'm like, okay, then I start to tailor the training program to kind of increase in volume or increase something in terms of the weeks prior to when they're going to crash, basically. And then I try to make that 1 week forward and then have them devolume. And I particularly now don't just do training breaks. Some people need them. But the way that I do things now, just from learning and everything, is I take more of I drop. If someone's doing more than one set per exercise, which typically I have people do, I will actually cut volume in half and lower intensity just slightly for like a week, for like a whole rotation. So that might be a whole like if you're on a push pull off, legs off, like you're going through six sessions of doing that. Until you get back to regular, because most people will do what I do right now, right, where they're mentally starting to feel good, and they'll come back too soon. So the way that I always do that is I make them have to do a full rotation of sessions, whether that's four sessions in the week or whether you're doing like a push pull off, legs off type split. Like, you're gonna be on a D volume. I firmly believe I'd rather do the D volume. I know there's a lot of people that rather just take time out in the gym, but I think it's very specific to each different person. For us, I would say it's probably better for us to actually take time off the gym because we can take it there. And when you start to get into the gym, and I know how we are, like when you start feeling it and you're like in that set, you're like, do you really want to stop at that two reps in reserve or that one rep in reserve? Like, nah, you want to take that puppy to the fuck. You want to take that puppy to the end zone. Yeah. Right. Like, so I think the way you also manage your time in that break is very, very important. Like you mentioned before, like you can't be doing like these hot yoga things and stuff like that. Like, you have to do stuff that's productive. And most of the times I'll bring down expenditure. I may even bump up calories for a certain period of time, for like a few days, and then I'll have the D volume sessions. But I always make sure to give them like a few days off from the gym so they actually can't step in there, and
and again, like in theory, people might think this is backwards, right? And like we individual think around here, and this is something that I've just found to be super, super optimal. And I figured this out from my own self. Mm-hmm. And not everybody needs this. Like Anthony said, some people just need to pull back on volume. For myself, if I was to pull back on volume and intensity for a week, I would be sitting there the entire time saying, why the fuck am I wasting 3 hours of my time driving to the gym, training to train like a fucking, like I hate training. Yes. So for me, I know for 100%, I'm a guy who's very busy and I have things that I can be doing pretty much all the time. So with that being said, I am much better off actually taking my time out of the gym.
Yep.
Because as we look forward, my stress will be better because I can now use that 3 hours a day that I'm dedicating to the gym, or sometimes four, because once I eat my pre-training meal, a lot of times that's just kind of me getting things aligned, driving to the gym, right? I have a 40-minute drive sometimes home from the gym, et cetera. Yeah,
like you're chilling. Like
it's a long block, right? And like that's 4 hours of my time that I can be getting shit done that's going to lower my stress for next week.
Yep.
You add that 4 hours across five training days in a week, that's 20 hours. That's a full fucking day of work, basically, right? And I've actually seen this with a lot of athletes. When I tell them, like, hey, we need to pull back here, I actually tell them, like, hey, we're actually going to lower your stress moving forward into the future by taking the physical stressors off you this week, but addressing some of the things that are stressing you out. Okay, you work 10-hour days. You don't have time to get things done around the house. You don't have time to be there for your kids, et cetera. You know what I want you to do this week? I want you to take time off the gym. And yeah, it might bother you mentally, but I want you to get every single fucking thing done that you need to get done. So you're going to have 15 hours of free time to get that shit that's stressing you out done. Oh, you've been telling me for 3 weeks you need a massage and you can't find time to get a massage. You're going to go get that massage done. Oh, you need to get the housework done. You need to get a shed built. You're going to build that fucking shed. You're going to do all of this shit because when you start training again next week, you're going to have the best performance you've ever seen in the last month, because all these small things that have been bothering you and adding to that allostatic load outside of the physical stressors we're doing in the gym, that's really what's causing this here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not you going to the gym that's causing this. It's all of the other things on top of that. So go fucking deal with those things. And for me, I've really noticed a huge benefit to it. Right now, again, in a case like Dylan's instance, well, he just wasn't recovering from training. It wasn't necessarily, hey, we need to go into a training break. It was, no, let's pull volume so you can still train your ass off and still have adequate recoverable volume. But the volume you can actually recover from when your stress is higher and your recovery capabilities are lower.
Yeah.
So, right. And I think that also comes into a point where it's extremely valuable to have a coach and to have a coach that learns you and understands you, right? Because I've seen it a million times. Like, we never make the right decisions for ourselves. If anything, we're just going to say, okay, I'm going to take one session off and try to get 30 things done in today. And then you don't finish those 30 things and you're just as stressed tomorrow, but you're too stressed that you're not going to take another day off the gym and you haven't done yourself any fucking benefits.
None. No. Right. Do you have a different approach that you use for your athletes, or are you very similar to us?
I'm very similar. It's almost like a combination of all of it in a sense, where you're just trying to find out, because like Braden said, you have to get to the root. I think that's what we're all trying to say is you have to get to the root, right? So it's like, regardless of how you get there, maybe that's through a conversation, maybe that's through a protocol, maybe that's through a self-realization, maybe that's something the coach notices, points out as being a potential issue, like, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you're trying to manage these stressors so that you can continually push on. I think sometimes in the athlete's mind, they live and die by the sword, and I know exactly what this feels like, where like it feels like today matters way more than it probably does. And that doesn't mean that I don't think the days don't add up into something, because they literally do. However, you can't put, you know, I think, you know, as someone who's trained with a lot of different people and people that train very hard, you know, if I go train with Braden, when I train with Braden this week, after I come back home and I'm not training with him anymore and I'm training by myself, if I live to the expectation that every session has to be the exact same as the way that it was when I'm with Braden, I'm going to be a very sad boy, because it's not a very good expectation to have, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get to see each other that often. So there's an excitement to the friendship. We both love to work hard. So it's like, we're trying to, you know, work hard, keep up to each other. And of course that can happen with a great training partner anywhere. But the point is, you know, you have to learn to just basically give all the effort you can in a day. And sometimes that effort might have to be diverted towards taking a break, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, like I got so much done in the last like few days. Like I took one day full rest. Like I was like, okay, I'm not doing anything and I'm just going to shut off. But I have like a shut off time. Like if I take a training break, I have a shut off time each day. Like there's a reason why I need to take it. And it means I need to cut myself off from what I'm going to do. Because I'll just go drive myself down into the hole, like you said, B. It's just like you'll continually try to find more. That's what I always think is the one thing that I observe is people try, when we take away the gym, they try to just fill it with things that are not, are just counterproductive because they can't deal with themselves. Right. And we're trying to get them to deal with themselves, and we're trying to get them to kind of just relax. Like the goal of the training break is to relax. Like, it's not just to get things done. Like we just said, like, yes, cross things off your list, but your body needs to relax. And if you're not giving it the time to relax, you're not doing anything for you. If anything, you'll go back in and you'll get a few weeks deep into your training block again. You'll feel like shit. So it's just like, it will be a consistent roundabout that you're going to get stuck into. But I think the strategy that the person uses is very individual.
That's what I was just going to say. And the unique thing there is, like, look at the differences between you and I, right? Like you just mentioned, like, you have to have those days when you take your training breaks that you shut off. I know myself good enough that if I do that, that's impacting my coming weeks. I can't do that.
Yep.
Right. Because I get so fucking stressed out by sitting around and giving myself just like, hey, go watch 4 episodes of your show and catch up on some sports or whatever. That stresses me the fuck out. It drives my wife nuts because half the time, if she wants to watch a couple episodes or a show or like a long movie, halfway through I pick up my phone or I start working or I grab my laptop, and like, it's something I've really worked on because I also need to realize like I'm also a human at some points and I need to act like it. But again, like for myself, I know that if I am to just shut off at X amount of time on days where I need to pull back, it's creating more stress that's going to bite me in the ass in coming weeks, versus if I go, and maybe I just give myself like that usual hour at the end of the day that I give myself, I can get everything done and come the next week, I'm ready to rock. So that's where, just like you said, it's individuation, right? Nobody is right or wrong in this scenario. You know yourself and I know myself.
And that's
going to move us forward. And as a coach, it's our job to know you and help you make those decisions. But we can't make those decisions unless you're communicating everything with us.
And you know your body. And unless you actually learn your body, I think this is where the coach actually comes into play, is they need to teach you a little bit about how to actually read like your stress perception, like how your body actually feels. Like those things matter. Like some people are really bad at perceiving stress, right? And they won't be able to perceive that stress until it comes down to a point. Like, I'm pretty bad at perceiving stress until it comes down to, oh, my blood glucose is pretty, I must be stressed about, so there's something. And then it takes internal thinking, right?
Brandon Wara, man, and he would have no problem me talking about this. Dude was not stressed at all. Ran a cortisol Dutch test, fucked. Absolutely fucked. And he was like, dude, that's so crazy. I don't even feel stressed. And I'm like, that's the problem. But now we've got him to the point where he's like, he recognizes things with himself and he looks back and he's like, holy shit, dude, I actually know what stress feels like now.
And yeah.
Some people are just so high throttle all the time that they don't actually know the feeling. And like, you can't blame somebody if that's who they are. You have to get them to figure it out. And the only way to figure that out is by first eliminating that fucking stressor.
I have an example too. I won't say the name, but I sent you guys both the Dutch test. Right. Yeah. And then we dug deeper. Dylan made me dig a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper. We found out how stressed the person was. And you're like, oh, but the person continually will say, oh, I don't feel stressed. Like, just because you don't feel stressed does not mean, if you're just, it was a lesson for people. If you get really bad anxiety attacks or you have heart or you have like heart palpations and things like that, you're stressed. Like, your body is stressed. You need to listen to those signs, because that's like, you've gone way beyond it, right? Like, that's the point where you've lost the battle to stress. Like, you can't even perceive it enough that it's overcome you. Whereas if you're just feeling a little bit of anxiety, your heart rate's starting to come up a little bit, like things are just feeling off, most likely stressed. So it's just like, if you need a day, and auto-regulate a day too. Like, if you are feeling off, I think this is important, where more rest is always, it's always a good thing. So like you said before, sometimes there's days when you're going to feel like shit, like your motivation is going to be poor, but there's days where you wake up and you've had like 4 hours of sleep and you're like, oh, I should probably take a pre-workout and push through this. No, like, so, like if you don't have a timeline, for things. Like if you're like you said, like if your roadmap is not like prep or something like that, it's okay to take an extra day. Honestly, your body's going to thank you for it than trying to always try to push through those days. There's sometimes to do it, but most of the times, like if you're not stressed on like a timeline, don't rush it. Like your body will respond better if you decide to just listen to what it has to say and not ignore the signs and symptoms.
And vice versa. If you just are lacking a little bit of motivation, kick yourself in the fucking ass.
And go to the fucking gym. Yeah.
Don't give yourself an excuse. Stop being a pussy.
Those are the best sessions. We can agree. We can all agree that those are typically the best sessions.
The more you sit there and create these excuses for yourself, and just because we're telling you right now that sometimes you got to pull back and you use that as a crutch to lean on and you're pulling back way more often than not, now you're literally affecting your long-term progress. So that's where it all comes full circle into understanding who you are and communicating things with your coach and allowing them to learn you so that decisions can be made properly. Yes. And I have athletes, and I'm sure you guys do too, that text me and say, hey, here's what's going on. What should I do today? And half the time I'm saying, you're going to get your training day food in, but you're going to rest. Or I'm saying, you're going to get your rest day food in and rest. Or I'm saying, hey, time to pull up those pants. Go do some shit. Make it happen.
Yep. Exactly. And
that's the realistic expectation that you got to understand where you are, what you're doing, and what you need. And you got to understand that too.
Yeah, awesome. Till, you got anything you want to add before we head out?
No, man, that was really good. Honestly, I think we covered a really good basis there. I think of, you know, where everyone's at and sort of how we go through things. Obviously, if there's individual needs or questions, anyone can reach out to us and, you know, we can maybe try to help you if there's, you know, on the individual front, but there's a grand way of looking at it here. And I think that, you know, we all know, right? Like Braden knows, you know, if you're being late, we all know what we're up to.
Yeah.
You know, if your body's stressed to shit and you're forcing yourself, and you know, if you're not stressed and you're just being lazy, you know, we all know that. If you just ask the right questions of yourself, you'll figure that out really quickly.
Yep.
And chances are your coach knows too. So if you go ahead and tell your coach you took a training break, he probably knows if you needed it, or she probably knows if you needed it.
Yep. Agreed. Yep. Exactly. Take the responsibility. If you need to make a decision too, make the decision. If you need to talk to your coach about it, talk to your coach about it. They'll be the one to guide you in the right direction. Trust me, it's better to over-communicate than under-communicate every single time.
And you know what? I'll say this, and I probably speak for both of you guys too. If you decide to take a day off training because you had shitty sleep or you were feeling a little bit under the weather, and you don't tell your coach, you don't message your coach and say, hey, should I take this day off? But then you just update them and check in and say, hey, on October 30th, I was literally not feeling overly hot and I had a very shitty sleep, so I decided to take the day off. I will cross my heart, hope to die, tell you every single time you made the right decision.
Yep.
And I'll say, I'm proud of you for that. I'm not going to say, what the fuck, get in the gym.
Yeah. I had three of those this week. And I said kudos to every single one of them because they listened to what their body was telling
them. That to me is an athlete ascension. That's where we've seen you become a better athlete. You've learned to auto-regulate at that point. And again, don't let it shift into a laziness aspect. But if you can actually listen to your body and make decisions based on it, you're gonna go a lot farther than somebody who doesn't.
Well,
totally agree.
Awesome. Well, boys, time to go eat for me. Dill, I know you gotta leave. If you guys are interested, actually, we do want to bring more of these though, because I really do like these and talking about these, not just bullshitting all the time. I know you guys do like those episodes, but we really want to bring more value. So whoever listens and who tags us, because I know a good amount of people do tag us on things. If you guys have any subjects you guys want to hear from us, literally anything, message us on Instagram, like send DMs or send us a message.
You know what? Why don't we, after we post this episode tomorrow, why don't we put up a question box where they can just toss a topic they want to know more about? And we can write all these topics down and we can start exploring them.
Yeah, but definitely. Because I think they would like to hear from anecdotal, because we didn't even provide really much studies. We do what we do based off of the athletes that we have in front of us. So you guys will learn a lot over literally practical application here. So if you guys are interested, as always, message us. If you guys enjoyed the episode, enjoyed listening to us, subscribe on Spotify, subscribe on iTunes, follow us, tag us on Instagram. If you guys listen and you guys learned anything, share it on your Instagram story. We appreciate it so much. Follow us on Instagram. All of our Instagram tag below. If you guys are interested in coaching too, Team Miller website is also down below. So you guys can sign up with either three of us, either of us here, and we'll get you started. But if you need some help learning these things, feel free to ask us questions. Our DMs are open for a reason. We like to coach for a reason. We want to help as many people as possible. So other than that, we're good to go. Hope you learned something. Other than that, we'll catch you guys on the next episode of the Ace of Beta podcast.
Thanks, guys.
See you guys later.